Good morning. Let's pray. Why don't you stand, maybe? Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for all your gifts, Father. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for your strength. Oh God, we just worship you this morning. We come to you and we bow reverently before you. And we pray, Lord, that this would be a day when we strengthen our commitment, our consecration, our devotion to you. We pray that your word would have its course in our lives. And Father, we thank you even for the word we've heard this morning already and how it rests so much on my heart, Lord, and what you've laid there. Thank you that you bear witness in so many ways to your truths. Lord, we do ask that your standard, your law might be lifted up again today, that your grace would go forth in our hearts as we agree with your standard, that there would be grace there to lift us up, Lord, and to empower us to live out the standard of God. We thank you so much for your love. Oh, God, as we study this love, we never cease to be amazed at its depth, its breadth, its width, and its height, Father, as we consider it. And we ask, Lord, as a church, as individuals, that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, that we might grow in this love, that it, this pure, unadulterated, this true, pure, unadulterated love of God would fill our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ. Lord, that your life might be reflected in and through us for your glory and purposes. I pray that you strengthen me, Father, today. Give me strength, Lord, and I stand before you in weakness and trembling. Father, I pray that the word of God would not be hindered because of my weakness, but Lord, that your name would be exalted. And Father, I pray for just for your grace through this time and ask that you bless and honor your word. Thank you for each one that is here this morning. Thank you, Father, that we've come together to, with anticipation, to look into your word and to receive a blessing today. Thank you that you are a faithful Father to feed your children. And our hope rests in you this morning. That's who we've gathered to talk about, not about ourselves, not about those things, Lord, but about yourself and about your truth, Father. We pray that it might have its way. In Jesus' name, amen. Men, what a blessing this morning to look into the Word of God. And my desire is, so we look at some things here and 1 Corinthians 13, we continue our study that you'll be allow the Word of God to challenge your life like it has mine, just in preparation for these thoughts this morning. And we're ready in 1 Corinthians 13, we're ready to look at verse 5. The last time I shared, we looked at in verse 4 toward the end, that charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. We made comments there about the nature and the characteristic of true love, or God's love in us, is opposed to self-pursuit and pride and boasting and arrogance in our life. That is not, those characteristics don't stem or don't flow from the love of God, do they? They come from sin, from self, and pride in our own lives. So now we're going on here, and as I did look at this, I think a couple translations even have it, doth not behave itself unseemly, have it flowing with those other two phrases. In other words, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, and does not behave itself unseemly. So there is a sense there where it's speaking, actually several translations I was surprised use the word rudeness here. Does not behave itself unseemly. So it says, does not behave itself rudely or indecently is some of the definitions that I came across. And that's challenged me. We're going to look at some practical things along those lines later here as we go. I'd like to lay some groundwork. As we're going here, we're considering the characteristics of true love, or God's love, as it's spelled out or laid out here in 1 Corinthians 13. So we're considering and we're studying the characteristics of this love. That way, as we consider this, at the same time that we're studying the true characteristics, we're also revealing the characteristics that are not from true love, aren't we? We're looking at both, so we can have a good picture of the fruits or the attributes or the characteristics of the true love, because that is what we want. And as we go through life and we see characteristics coming from our life, or we see them in our life or our mind or thoughts that are not the characteristics that we see here as a definition of true love, God is wanting us to repent, to deal with them in our life, and to come to Him for grace, because He desires to manifest this true love in us and through us. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. We get to be vessels. This great love of God that fills heaven and is constantly worshipped. 1 John tells us that God is love. In a sense, we can trace most of His character or His attributes back to Him as love. And His love, as it fills the whole heavens, and the beings there worship God in the presence of His love, and the beings there behold what He does in the lives of men, and they turn and worship God, and they live constantly in the presence of His love and His glory there in heaven. And as that is happening, we consider that, and we consider how great that is, and think of the tremendous privilege we have as His people. God wants to place the same love, it bears the same characteristics, bears the same fruit that He Himself is. He wants to place that same love in us, that the same fruits, the same characteristics would come out of our life, that people could recognize God in our life through those characteristics. Isn't that a blessing? What a privilege. So what is implied here? It's a pretty wide definition. We're going to, Brother Ben shared there in 1 Peter, I was thinking a lot on holiness, and yet my message didn't really go that way, but that was a good thought in preparation for the message here this morning. There's a wide definition implied here, I think, somewhat, but notice this phrase, does not behave itself unseemly. So it's telling us here that true love affects our behavior, doesn't it? It affects our behavior. If there is behavior that is unseemly, that's not resulting from true love. Rather, that's a sign in our life that we're lacking in true love. We're not loving God with all of our heart. We're not loving our neighbor as ourselves. That is why this fruit is coming from our life. And that's why we're behaving this way. And that comes down very personal, on some very practical areas in our lives. And we're going to consider some of those later. But unseemly here simply means, as much as I can tell, it's not fit or proper. It's not suitable. It's lacking grace. I thought that was interesting. It's lacking grace or indecent. Indecent. And behave, it just means to act, to conduct, generally applied to manners or habits. So what Paul's saying here, and this, you could take this passage in a sense, and you could preach a lot of different messages. It literally says that true love affects our behavior. And we could look at a lot of different aspects of behavior, but today for sure we're going to focus in on a few. Now, we're considering today that the behavior that should mark a Christian, because he's no longer governed by sin or the flesh, but he's now governed by love, the love of God. And that makes the difference in our life as we live. Did you realize that God is interested in how we behave ourselves? Amen? God's interested in how we behave, our behavior. He's interested in that. He will bless us or chasten us according to our behavior, and I think that is implied clear through the scriptures. Because He loves us, He chastens us. I don't know if you ever stopped and considered, but as I meditated on this, I realized that worldly institutions are concerned about the behavior of the people that represent them. Worldly institutions all around us in business. When I worked for my dad's store, we didn't have to do it at that time. But since then, they have a paper they hand out with anyone who wants to work there of some basic dress codes and things you can't wear and things you can't do, because they're concerned about the behavior of the people that work there. And this happens, I'm just using that as an example, but it happens in most businesses, especially where the people working there are in contact with the public. There's always, behavior is very much in tune. I want you to consider this morning, the world has figured this out. Consider the army. The army is, they are so focused in on behavior, teaching respect. Any disrespect is punished completely. Anything that is less than complete respect and submission and in their behavior is dealt with thoroughly and is punished. I thought of that. If you don't meet their standard, you're disciplined. They have a standard of behavior that they expect from you as you're there. It's this way in different schools. We see it more and more. We see, not that I follow sports, but we see this star player gets in trouble. He's not on the basketball court or anything, but he's punished or fined because of his behavior. Actually, this last week, a friend of mine told me about a Christian school. And as you come onto the staff of this Christian school, you sign a paper saying that you will not drink any alcoholic beverages. Whether it, obviously for sure not in school, but even out of school, you're not allowed to drink. I thought that was commendable. But the football coach was hired on with several years ago, not too long ago. In the first season or so he was there, he had a tremendous year. He took the school to the finals. And last year, they won the state championship in their bracket. But since that time, within the last year, he was caught drinking alcohol. He was seen someplace by a student or something with phones. They can take a picture of him. And that was sent to the school and he was fired. I thought that was commendable too. They stayed with their standard, but they have this standard and they're saying this behavior is not tolerated. And even though he won the state championship, so he was very popular with the people, and a lot of the people were crying out, you know, we can make exception. Well, the thing I want to share this morning is in God's standard, there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. And way more, his standard as we have it, to, in our hands to study, to consider, to read, and to follow, he doesn't bend his standard. Now, God is long-suffering, he's merciful, he's full of grace, but he doesn't bend his standard for me or for you. There's no special people in God's kingdom. So, Christians should behave differently than the world. There should be clear behavior distinctions that mark us that are different from the world. Our behavior should be a higher standard than that of the world, because it should be in line with God's standard. If we talk like the world and we act like the world, it's probably because we're of the world. Is that right? But this is the whole problem. And as I studied for this, and as this burden came on my heart, it burdened me. And there's an indignation rose up in my heart as I considered this, because we're filled the churches are filled with people that are filled with compromise, and they're compromising on issues. They don't want to have, they don't want to suffer from the world. So they act like the world, they talk like the world in order to win them, right? Is that lowering God's standard? That's lowering God's standard. God won't honor that. God will not bless that. And I found it in my life. And it's something we need to consider this morning. The way we talk, and I just think of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. Remember when he entered to Vanity Fair, the people said they speak differently. It was so good, Brother John Bunyan there, and he had that in there. They said, "Why do you dress so differently? Why do you look so differently? You speak so differently." I just thought of that here this morning. But the behavior was different. There was different behavior, characteristics in their behavior that marked them. Clearly, from that of the people around them in Vanity Fair. True Christianity will be marked by the characteristics of true love. Our behavior should be marked by the fruits of Christian love. This love manifests the greatest intolerableness and hatred for all sinful and unclean behavior. This is something that happens as we draw close to the heart of God and as we continue to agree with His standard and as we continue, honestly, as we continue to love, to grow in our love for God, if we love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, this love will manifest an intolerableness and a hatred for any behavior that is sinful or unclean. This love, this true love of God in us will never be satisfied with a lower standard of behavior in holiness and purity than the standard which characterizes the nature of God. It will never be satisfied with a lower standard. But there will be an aspiration for a higher, deeper, greater growth in our Christian life, in our character, in our behavior. And we find this is true. You know, as we grow in the Lord, as we draw near to Him, the closer we draw to Him, He continues to point out things in our life that maybe we were unconscious of before. That wasn't a big issue. It happened. It happens in many ways. But as we draw near to Him, He continues to purify the deepest intents of our heart, the longing that is there that's not right, the word that was spoken that wasn't right, or the way it was spoken that wasn't right. As we continue to draw closer to God, and we can grow in this love, the more aware we become of His purity and holiness in our behavior, His standard of it. This love of God in mankind desires, strives, and aspires after a behavior that is unblemished, pure, and holy. Those are the characteristics that mark true love. The love of God in 1 Corinthians 13 as we're studying it here. It does not behave itself unseemly. It does not produce a behavior that is indecent, inappropriate, is unseemly, that is not a true representation of the God that it comes from. That is why, because this love comes from God, and it will naturally, if this love is left to itself and left to have its way in our life, it will naturally produce in us the characteristics of God, because it comes from Him. This love will never be marked by an attitude that says, that's just how I am. That's just how I am. That's, to me, that says, I like the way I am. That's what it's saying. But this love, this true love of God, will never say, that's just how I am. I can't change. There's a problem today. You don't have to change anymore to be a Christian. You don't have to. Because the church has went so far in being like the world, there's no change. I can't change. You can't. You can't on your own strength. Another one, this is how God made me. This puts the blame back on God. This is how God made me. God forbid that we should blame Him over a behavior that is less than the standard of God. If He set the standard, the blessing is He'll give us the grace. Hallelujah. To meet the standard. If any man be in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Is that not still our standard of true conversion? Amen. Let's never lose that, brothers and sisters. Let's never bring that standard down. Let's say the new conversion is not reformation, it's transformation. Hallelujah. God wants to break any old patterns of behavior that were according to the flesh, that all that we say and do would be right, a right representation of His character. Let us consider a few here this morning, bring it down more to our practical things in our life. One of them, the first would be words and actions that are unseemly or indecent. And as I considered this morning, this is definitely not a conclusion of them all, or this is not the whole scope of them. These are a few to consider and ponder, but you meditate on this in the days to come. True love or charity does not behave itself unseemly. One of these I want to talk about a little bit is rudeness. Unmannered or rude. In word or deed, can be done either way. And you know, I'm not speaking as one that has attained in all these things, but and even this week, God laid it on my heart in a phone call that I had to call this man back. He's not a Christian, but I had lowered the standard and to apologize that I was rude. We can be sure that if we find rudeness in our life, it's not a fruit of God's love. It's not coming from the presence of God's love, but rather from it's a fruit of the flesh, of ourself, of ourselves and of our flesh. When we love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourself, which is God's standard, right? We'll keep going back to this. When we have that standard in our life, you won't treat people with rudeness, because you know what? Rudeness is a result. Rudeness is a fruit of pride. It's a fruit of pride. It's saying in a sense that you're not worth my time and my attention. That is what rudeness in a nutshell. It says you're not worth my attention. You're not worth my time. And it comes from selfishness in a sense, because it says that what are you going to do for me if I do this for you? You're not going to do anything for me. I don't need to worry about how I behave towards you or how I relate to you. Rudeness is a fruit of pride that says you're not worth my time and my attention. That's not God's standard. And if we see this in our life, if we find it in our life, I want to encourage us to deal with it in our own heart this morning. Let's not make an excuse for it. I have already, and I could have even this week made an excuse that this man, you know, he's not a Christian, and I could have made a lot of excuses, but let's not make an excuse for it in our life. Rudeness is behaving unseemly, is not coming from the nature of God's love in us, or the fruit of, it's not a fruit of His love. It's a fruit of ourself. Let's deal thoroughly with it. In our children, this is a challenge to us, but in our children, and you know, this is a big one. We're going to speak a little practical here, but how about teaching our children some of the basic manners of responding, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Looking someone in the face, looking them in the face, shaking their hand with a smile, looking in their eyes. There's just some different things that we want to implement or install in the hearts of our children as we consider some of these characteristics of true love. First of all, we want to let this love that we're speaking of, let the fruits of it and the behavior of it characterize our life. But let us make it the standard for our children and point them continually to that standard. Teach them to open the door for someone, for people, to be conscious of other people. What it is saying, in a sense, what we're teaching them when we're teaching them politeness and manners in this way, it is teaching them to think of others. That is what it is. Rudeness is really, really self-centered. It's self-centered, and it's getting its direction from what I want. I must have it now. I must have it, and I must have it now. That's what rudeness is. As we teach them politeness, we want to continually to install the principle in their hearts. This love, as we've already learned, thinks of others. It thinks of others first. It thinks of others in everything. It seeks the happiness of others. Let us learn to be gracious and kind. And I don't have a lot of references here. You know that there are plenty of them to look at. My message probably is going to be real long, but I want to challenge us this morning to consider these things. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Learn to be gracious, even when you disagree. You know, that's the challenge. When you disagree with someone, to still be gracious, respectful, and to not just be rude. and to show them your fruit, the fruits of yourself and not the fruits of charity. I just want to say a word here. From our background, we can be very rude and inconsiderate. And I've seen it in my life. That's why I'm saying it today. So I'm just not beating on you today, but I'm trying to lift the standard in my life too. And I want to welcome you and to join me in this. But as we draw near to God, we can see characteristics in our life or habits that aren't very polite sometimes or aren't very considerate to others. And I want to encourage us to remember that that fruit is from selfish pride and contempt. Contempt. Wow. That goes in with rudeness, doesn't it? That goes right in. It's a synonym with rudeness. Contempt. You know, I thought of this when I thought of manners again, and I said it before in behavior, but we have a written account of God's manners. Did you know that? It's not all the manners books that other people have written, but we have a written account of God's manners. Those are His manners. And as we follow that account, it can be a blessing to other people, a blessing to ourselves. The second thing, it ties kind of in this, but as I looked at this, it's disrespect. The second thing, disrespect, sneering, contempt or scorn, those kind of things, from whether it's in word or deed in our life. I want to say this morning, those are not the fruits of true charity. I wish to God that these fruits could not be found, not be named, once named among us. These fruits of disrespect, sneering, contempt, rudeness. God's standard is that these fruits would not be once found among us. But as we have these terrible, we have seen them in our own life. I'm sure we have. We have this attitude and it can be dangerous. I think of the verse in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? That is the whole thing with disrespect. Is it's a view of others that's looking down at them as inferior. Or if it's someone that is above us, it's still undermining their authority. It's undermining who they are. So disrespect, it can be either way. It can be looking down with contempt on someone who's not quite like we are. Or if someone is above us, so to speak, it can be undermining. There's an intent there to undermine who they are and to bring them down to your level. That's what disrespect does. It wants to bring others down to your level, but has no desire to bring those below you up to your level. Sneering and contempt and scorn. It don't have to be in those words. We know we are better Christians than that. We wouldn't say the things like that. We know how to put them in a nice sugar coating. We know how to even say the right words, but it can be accompanied with the spirit of sneer, contempt, or disrespect. It's not right. It's not flowing. It's not a result of love in our life. It's a manifestation of ourselves and our flesh, having its behavior in our life. Do we really think that we can have these behavior patterns, these things in our behavior, these fruits in our behavior, and profess to know and love God? Can we say, I love God, and at the same time have a heart that is filled with these fruits or coming out of our life, these characteristics? Man was made in His image, the Bible tells us. And He doesn't give us permission to look at His creation that way. Let's turn to the third one I want to consider is our speech, more or less based on our speech. It's insinuated here, doesn't behave. Our behavior, a good part of our behavior a lot of time is our speech, isn't it? What we say. That tells a lot. Jesus tells us that shows us what's in our heart, doesn't it? And it does affect our behavior. What's in our heart affects our behavior. Our speech shows us what's in our heart many times. Let's look at Ephesians 5. This stood out to me this week. There's a passage here we want to look at. But I just want to say, unseemly, These things, it's taken in with joking, foolish or flippant talk, or just dirty language. That's implied in these words. It's indecent. It's inappropriate. And we have a picture of that here in Ephesians 5. And what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 13, or what the Spirit of God is saying to us through His Word, is that we can be assured that these characteristics are not flowing from a heart that is full of the love of God. They're not characteristics that mark His love. Rather, they're characteristics of sin and self. As we listen to our own speech and that of our children, we can get a pretty good inventory of what's in their hearts. Did you know that? We listen to what we say, even what our children are saying. We can learn so many things. We can see pride, rebellion, disrespect. We can trace so many of those things back into their hearts and see, well, there's a root in there, and here comes some fruit. It's not good. Ephesians 5, let's start reading in verse 1. In Ephesians here, the first three chapters of Ephesians, we have Paul giving a declaration of the gospel and the beauty of the gospel. And starting in chapter 4, he begins to say to walk, doesn't he? And that's what characterizes the last three chapters of Ephesians, is walk. He lifts up the beautiful salvation through Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He builds on that. He comes to chapter 4 and he starts by saying, I therefore beseech you that you walk. And then and right here we see it in chapter 5 too. Be therefore followers of God. Here we have the standard lifted up. The characteristics that we see of God, He wants to have those same characteristics to mark our life, the same fruit to flow from our life as the life of God is in us. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk. Here's this word, walk. How? It says in love. Hallelujah. And walk in love. Walk it out. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Is that our standard? Is that our standard? I just want to lift this standard back up this morning in our hearts. This is God's standard. This is God's standard. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. And I think the word convenient is implying that it's just vain. It's empty. It's not beneficial to anyone. It's not convenient. But rather, giving of thanks. For this know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Notice verse 6 here. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, because of these things, the things we just read, because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Isn't that true? Isn't that in the context? Because of these things, the wrath of God will be against us. If these are characteristics that mark our behavior, the wrath of God is against us because of those things. And it says in verse 6 specifically, notice this, let no man deceive you with vain words. In other words, it's just like Paul says later, men are going to come and they're going to try to tell you, they're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're going to try to tell you that's not necessary. That's not the standard of God. But there's a warning right in here. Let no man deceive you through empty words, that because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the children of disobedience. That's a pretty high standard. That's a pretty high standard. But I believe God wants it to be our standard of holiness and our purity and our love. His love is pure and it's holy. And as His love, as the love of God fills our lives and our hearts through Jesus Christ, as He lives there, as this love fills us, it will come out. It'll be pure, peaceable. Amen? Lovely. It's sad to me There's a. It's sad to me that the church has adopted the speech of the world. It's happening. We see it sometimes in our lives. But the church has adopted that speech. They talk like the world. They think it's cool. You know, they talk that way. And it's done nothing but lower their standard of God's standard. They've lowered their standard. God's calling on our life to behave differently from the world includes what we say and the way we say it. If these fruits are found in our behavior, jesting, filthiness, flippant talk, just flippant talk, foolish talk, if they're found in our behavior, let us be sure that they're not coming from the love of God, because the love of God doesn't behave that way. It doesn't behave that way. It's coming from another source. And there's a lot, there'd be a lot more verses to look at on this one. I thought of one here, just actually in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And also in Matthew 12, where Jesus said that we'll give account of every idle word. Isn't that, that should challenge us. That is, to me, that's I'm not there. But I want that to be my standard. I want this to be my standard, saying, oh, God, that was in the flesh. And you're showing me that I'm not filled with the love of God. Because when we're filled with the love of God, when we're filled with something, that's what will come out. Is that right? When we're filled with God's love, the characteristics that mark His love will be what flow from our life. The fourth one here, the last one this morning, I want us to consider at least because it stood out to me so much. It challenged me so much as I considered it. And that was modesty. Did you realize that the foundation for modesty is true love of God in the heart? It is. That is the foundation of modesty. Not just in the sisters and the brothers, but that is the foundation. Especially as we teach that principle, we need not to lose that. It was interesting to me in 1 Timothy 2:9, what it talks about, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That Greek word there, modest apparel, one definition of that is seemly apparel. Seemly apparel. Appropriate. In 1 Corinthians 13 here, it says love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seemly behavior. Modesty is a fruit of true love. And I want to say that again, even as we look at our children, that is, we can look at these characteristics and we can evaluate where their heart is with God. And when we see characteristics coming that are not the characteristics of love, then we can rightly pray for them. We can minister to them and speak into their life, knowing that they are not loving God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Can't we do that? Isn't that right? We can. We can see these characteristics that are not coming from true love and look back at our children. And yes, there needs to be the discipline there on the behavior, but we need to have a burden and go into their heart and know that they don't have, their heart is not completely surrendered to God. They're not loving Him. That's the problem. That is a big problem. So let's not do the one and leave the other undone. Let's do them both. Let's speak into their life. Let's bring them direction. At the same time, continue to encourage them to surrender completely to God and let His love fill them. And this is how it is with modesty. When you look at immodesty is what? It's selfishness. It's pride in a woman's life. She literally is making the choice. And I can't help but share this story. I just heard it. But when Charles Finney was preaching one time, this woman came to the meeting. And I think he was sitting in the front row. And as she walked in, she had a plume feather. And she was dressed very elegantly. And she walked clear through the church to the row right behind Charles Finney and sat down. And he turned to her and said, ma'am, he said, did you come to worship God or did you come for us to worship you? And he said, she just wilted. But he reproved her. He rebuked that spirit. And after his message, she was the first to respond. So in a lady's life or in a man's life, we're concerned. We have modesty because we're concerned that we rightly represent God. We say we are his child. We say his love dwells in us. We're governed by his love. So we're concerned that we rightly represent him. The angels in his presence cover themselves. I thought of that. And here later in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us love seeketh not her own. And we'll talk about that later in another message. But the fruit of immodesty or the root of immodesty is self-pursuit. It's selfishness. Power. Seeking to entice other men to look. The other way, it's concerned, it's careful, because of the true love of God, it's careful that it doesn't put a stumbling block in front of another person. So they dress modestly, shamefacedly, with modest apparel. Modesty is a fruit of perfect love. I don't know if you ever thought of that. I hadn't so much till I studied this. But it is true, as Paul says, isn't it? The further we go in this passage, the more we just go, wow. The more we are challenged, the more we realize that charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Hallelujah. Godly behavior will only result from a life that is full of God's love. So, and again, in closing, I want to say that the only guard you have, well, you can subdue unseemly behavior, but it's like the one man said, someday the stink's going to come out. You can't always keep it under in your power, in your flesh. The only way to live freely and victoriously over unseemly behavior is to be filled with the love of God. It is the only way. Because as we're filled with His love, the fruits of this love will come out and it will affect our behavior. It is to deal with it, repent in our own life, confess it. And when we don't, and cut off those fruits or deal with them, but to turn to God and allow our relationship to grow, that we might be filled with His love. That it would affect our characteristic. As we love Him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and as we love our neighbor of ourselves, we can be assured that we can fulfill this standard of holiness, this standard of behavior that is found through His grace. If His love is not abounding in us, filling us, we're going to fall in this area. My prayer this morning is that perfect love may have His way and fill us with His power and His fullness, that truly it could be said of us, charity does not behave itself unseemly. And they, as children of God, being filled with His love, are walking in that behavior of a seemly character. Characteristics are marking our lives that are the same as the ones that mark God's love and God's character. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your standard, God. We thank You for Your grace, Father. We just realize again this morning as we lift this standard up that Lord, we cannot attain to it in our flesh or our strength. But, oh God, we pray for hearts that would aspire after it, would hunger and thirst to walk in Your fullness, Father, to be filled with the love of God, which passeth knowledge. Oh, Father, thank You for each one here. We ask that You honor Your word and that it would bear fruit for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.